You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, who has the best? What radio host has the best interview subjects of all? Nobody but James Edwards. And following that grand tradition, we're glad to introduce our audience again to the big kahuna, Jason Kuna.
He is indeed that, Keith. Author, YouTuber, advocate for white well-being extraordinaire, Jason Kuna. Get his books, by the way. Go Free, Born Guilty, Crucible. Jason, it's great to have you back with us tonight.
Unsafe at any speed.
Hey, we wouldn't want to get through the first month of the year without having you on, and you will be our last guest in January, and it has been an embarrassment of riches on TPC. How are you tonight, brother?
Oh, I'm magnificent, and it is truly splendid to be able to be back with you all and your wonderful audience of patriots across the United States and around the world listening to this program. And I know I heard earlier about the message coming in from Greece that the program was on today, and you had, of course, you already have been speaking to heroes over the course of the night, so I'm ready to give my little two cents, whatever that might be, and pick people's spirits up, especially in this this new epoch that we've entered with the dead Republican Party, as we've known it, as anti-white as it is up to now, becoming something entirely different. Now post Donald Trump and a correction, if you will, of the anomaly that he presented to this anti-white system.
Jason, that is a fantastic way to begin this particular hour. And going back the last 2 weeks, Kevin McDonald, Sam Dixon, Jared Taylor, Mark Weber, Paul Fromm, obviously tonight, Tim Murdoch. Where do you go after that except to Jason Kuna?
Well, let me just say this quickly. The real short way to put it is the left is and the Democrats are now totally off the chain. Do you agree, Jason?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, essentially, I mean, this is where they all anti-whites, whatever they call themselves, of various names, they're always going as far as law and public opinion will allow them to go with their victimization of Western kind and Western civilization. And now they've reached a point where some of their victims, and that being the Republican Party, they've defeated them, and they are able to, as you say, you know, they're off the chain. They're able to focus more on the rest of the population with their power and wealth as they mow down, metaphorically, the Republican Party and what's left of them, and really becoming a neo-Democrat party, as every bit as degenerate as the Democrat Party has been for a very long time, and even more anti-white than they were before Donald Trump showed up.
Well, Jason, we want to talk to you tonight about that, but we also want to talk to you about how we can go free, how people can keep in positive thought even while darkness covers our land. And we'll be talking about that with you for the next couple of segments. But before we do any of that, I want to give a shout out to one of our mutual friends, one of our mutual benefactors. Of course, we know him quite personally, but he wants to be referred to as First Last. And First Last just made, as you put it, a galactic contribution to the work, to the cause. I know that he holds you in particular high regard, and rightly so. And I know you'd like to acknowledge that tonight.
Yeah, I would indeed. I mean, he is a magnificent gentleman, a musical composer and a thinker and an extraordinarily bright guy. He contributes all the time and is thinking about these things, ruminating our plight, our challenges, and proactively contemplating ways that we can circumvent and overcome these challenges, surmount these challenges that the anti-whites present to us in a very real way, rather than just what we refer to in Going Free. He came up with doom documenting and doom dissecting. And so he contributes in a great many ways. He decided to step up financially and with an extraordinarily galactic financial gift of $2,000 to Going Free and White Wellbeing. And we are so indebted to him and to his contributions mentally, his contributions of his talents and musical talents and the like, and now also his financial contributions. He is saying to the world with a testimonial of $2,000, a working class guy, he's saying to the world that he has been in the Going Free community. He has seen it work. It has worked in his life. It has resolved issues for him, and he has seen it work in the lives of many other people. And that is why, as a working class guy, he's willing to part with that size of a financial gift, because he wants to continue to give something. He wants something that is working to make a difference in this world so that we can, as we say in Going Free, recapture our destiny. He wants to see that work perpetuated, and we love him, and we care for him. He will continue to be for a very long time a dear brother in the cause for white well-being.
Well, he's all that and more, Jason, and he has been quite an inspiration to me. He is a great friend of mine. I am thankful for the gift that he bestowed upon you and for everything that he contributes, his thoughts, his intellect, his talents. A lot of people behind the scenes don't know him. Some people do know him, and they don't know that they know him, because we can't reveal his actual identity here, obviously, here publicly going out over the airwaves tonight. But in any event, it is important to know that there are people out there of different talents and abilities and different classes and strata who are working towards the goal of what we'll be talking about with you for the next couple of segments, Jason. That's Going Free. Now, we'll get to that at the top of the next segment. At the top of the next segment, tips on how we can keep a positive thought even during this time of our discontent. But with only about a minute remaining in this opening segment, what would you say, Jason, has been the most interesting element of the last 10 days? I keep saying 2 weeks. It's only been 10 days since Biden was inaugurated. In the last 10 days, the most, the thing that stands out to you most?
Well, I think the surprise that many people have, and ultimately January 6th, 21, where I refer to it as Patriot's Day, and it was the day that the American Patriot lost their innocence when they realized that the Capitol that's supposed to be their house is actually a whorehouse that is run by outsiders who hate America and hate Western time. That's the biggest thing that stands out.
Well, hey, you heard it from the man himself, Jason Kuhn. He's quite right. We'll take a quick break, and he'll tell you how we can go free when we come back.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking, If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour. And when it hit into the road there, her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it, and the other three boys were trapped in it, and the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. You know, I parked my car and I went inside, and they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed. I lost it. The other people, because they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it, because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-9800. 6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Very well may be the case. We're back tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Jason Kuna, our guest right now. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at NoWhiteGuilt, NWG, at NoWhiteGuilt, NWG. You'll want to keep up with the latest and the greatest from Jason, who I think as much, if not more, than anyone else in our movement has given people advice on how they can keep a positive thought, how they can go free. Even in dark days, there are things we can do to better ourselves, to better our standard of living, to better our thought processes. Jason, I don't want to say self-help guy because that sort of has a negative connotation, but that's exactly what it is. He betters the lives of those who listens to his message. So, Jason, let's talk about it. How can we do that? How can we go free? What is going free?
Well, those are great questions, brother. And really, just to begin to jump into that, there's a big difference between what we have been doing in these white spheres, rather, I refer to them as spheres rather than a movement, because that's actually kind of preposterous. There's been no movement. But there are many things that we've been doing, and they ultimately can be whittled down to documenting how bad everything is and then dissecting all that we document. That actually is built on an old paradigm that has a giant God of the gaps scenario, where the idea is that if you tell enough people how bad things are and where the bad comes from and who are the actors and who are the people who are paying, if you tell enough people about all of these things, then you have a God of the gaps moment
where suddenly everything gets better for everyone, and incidentally, it will also get better for Western kind. Well, I thought that was ridiculous, and I asked over many years some of the best, some of the brightest, some of the most educated, some of the most intelligent. Well, what about this God of the Gaps moment? I mean, how do we get from you tell enough people? And first of all, I had a big problem with this tell enough people sort of argument, because we have moments with people, just moments of their lives. The anti-white regime has them for the totality of their lives, and their movies and their television and their books. They have them at universities, they have them at schools their whole lives. We have them for a moment. And if you can even convince a person and bring them over, somebody who isn't already leaning our direction, then they want to do it in silence. They don't want to tell anybody else about what they have learned from you. So what you've done is you've just created this other mute along with yourself. But even if we do have a mute joined together, whatever number that's going to be, and remember, there have been marvelously intelligent folks over the years that have been doing this, we can all think back and cite half a dozen names or a dozen names of people who were brilliant. And so the message has been getting out for a very long time, and yet the God of the Gaps question is not addressed at any point. So the paradigm had to be shifted in order for us to make a real change in the world. That means we had to address the metric that we used to determine whether or not we were progressing, whether or not we were improving. The previous metric in the old paradigm was how much truth, or quote unquote truth, can we get out to the world? And this instantiated that this was the paradigm by the idea that, well, we have truth and so therefore we win. And that's not how the world actually, that's not the law of the jungle. That's not how things work. We see this now, that truth is not enough. Power is but power guided this, by or set
hello,
into a
Paul?
Framework.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
Oh, Jason, excuse me. The sound went off. I thought you'd stop talking.
No, Keith thought we were. Keith thought he was in the DeLorean of Back to the Future. He was talking to Paul Fromm from last
time. Yeah, no. What I was going to say, what's going on here, Jason, is there are so many voices out there, but there are two basic topics. If you want to know what's happening to you and why, you need to encounter those two taboo topics that we specialize in here at the Political Cesspool: race and Jewish power and influence. I hear all sorts of people talking about what's happening to us, and they think us is conservatives or nationalists or populists and whatnot. It's happening to us because we're white, and nobody wants to say that.
Well, all that's true, of course, Keith, but I think what Jason's program is and his agenda is something really transcendent. Almost like Sam Dixon talks about with regards to abjuring the realm and thinking beyond America and thinking solely of our people and how we exist and how we survive and thrive regardless of political or geographic identity. But Jason, you can explain it better than I.
Well, precisely. And so what we do is we change the metric about what we consider success. And so the metric begins with, Is the white individual by around the world, the member of Western kind around the world, are they improving in their lives? Are they getting stronger? Are they getting healthier? Are they getting brighter? Are they becoming more spiritual by way of what we provide to them? So dogmatic in our position to advance the well-being of Western kind, and all of this verbiage that we use, I'll speak to in a moment, is intentionally used. It's not by accident that we use these things. And then pragmatic in how we arrive at those objectives. So we have a story that we live inside of, and this is one of the most important things that we need to understand. This is an anti-white narrative. We debate all the time about how we about the truth of any sort of a claim. Well, this guy was out in the streets, and they said hands up, and he said hands down. And then we get mired in the argument or the discussion about what's taking place inside of a fiction, which is what we refer to as the anti-white narrative. Now, this is very simple, by the way. Everything we use in Going Free, there is less jargon than in Going Free than you use in your profession. So if you could learn some jargon for your profession, whatever that might be, then you can certainly use the verbiage here. And this is something that many, regrettably, sneer at. They think that, well, it's really sort of a trivial matter what you call things. Absolutely not. The words that you use are the tools that you think with. There is nothing more important. And that's why the anti-whites put so much weight on what things are called. That's why we get out of the anti-white narrative and we get into our own story where we are the heroes, where we name the anti-white. We give them the title anti-white, where we understand the world by those who are white positive, those who are going free, those who serve white well-being, those who are neutral, they're sort of gray in the background, and those who decide by their words and deeds that they want to be anti-white. We then acknowledge that. It's important that we approach that position in this way, that we acknowledge their decision, because the average white person all the way around the world, independent of any particular Western country, finds it immoral to designate a group as evil or wrong or backward based on an immutable characteristic. So we allow them to decide, those out there who want to be anti-white, we allow them to decide that they're going to be anti-white, and we acknowledge that decision. And we force the anti-white into our narrative when we have our discussions. Now, this has been something that we have taught now to thousands of people, and they come back with success stories, testimonials that seemingly can't be real. But we have stacks of them every single week when we discuss going free on my show. That can be 8 to 10 hours long. And we talk about these sorts of things.
He's not joking, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen him do that. This man is a true content-creating animal. He can go 8 to 10 hours. We got to take a break. We can only go 10 minutes at a stretch. Keith's going to finish coughing up that lung here during the commercial, and we'll come back with Jason here in a moment. Jason Kuna, check him out on Twitter.
Exposing we'll be right back. Corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States has surpassed 26 million coronavirus cases since the beginning of the pandemic. The latest data compiled by Johns Hopkins University also shows that more than 438,000 Americans have died of COVID-19. That is, Maryland is confirming a case of the more contagious strain of the virus first identified in South Africa. In a statement, Governor Larry Hogan's office said the patient is an adult living in the Baltimore metro area who hadn't traveled internationally, making community transmission likely. The first case of the South Africa strain in the U.S. was identified earlier this week in South Carolina. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who was killed during the riot at the Capitol on January 6th, will lie in honor next week at the Rotunda. A viewing for members of the Capitol Police will be held Tuesday night. Lawmakers will hold a ceremony honoring him Wednesday morning before he's interred at Arlington National Cemetery. This is USA Radio News.
For 3 years, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and the MyPillow Premium Pillow and how I get the best night's sleep of my life, how they don't go flat. They are washable and dryable and made in the USA. And it continues the MyPillow Premium Pillow Special for Mike Lindell. A standard or queen size premium MyPillow, $29.98. You're saving $40. King size pillows only $5 more. 60-day money back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. And while you're at MyPillow.com, check out all the deep discounts on all the other MyPillow products. MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
A new study suggests that children don't spread COVID at a high rate while in school if proper protocols are taken. Dr. Daria Long of the University of Tennessee Department of Emergency Medicine is one of the co-authors of the study, and she tells CNN that they found more cases of COVID when kids came back from breaks than when they were in school regularly.
What we saw, and that was kind of one of our final conclusions from this, is what we saw is the number of cases that we had were very highest each time after kids were out on break. So when they came back in August or after fall break, after Thanksgiving, their numbers were highest. Whereas when they were in school continually, they were following these protocols and we were able to test them, we got our numbers even lower. So we had the lowest incidence when they were continually in school.
The study showed that just 9% of students who came into the school infected spread it to other students, and researchers didn't find evidence of student-to-teacher transmissions. This is USA Radio News.
We're so thankful, so fortunate, so blessed to be able to present to you each and every night of 16 years now, the kind of men and women who run against the wind, as we all do and as we all should, in this degenerate and in this anti-white.
I was about to say, you made the cardinal sin of committed the cardinal sin of limiting gender to two categories.
That's right. That alone will do it for most people's careers in this disgusting day and age. You should be running against the wind, swimming against the tide, whatever you want to call it. Well, Jason Kuna certainly can give us some tips on doing that. So let's get to the point. Let's cut to the chase, Jason. It's a dark time in America and throughout the West. Not so much on the eastern front of Western civilization. They're doing a little bit better than we're doing here in the United States and in Canada and in the UK, et cetera. But how do we weather this storm? What do our people do? We were talking about going free. How do they better themselves and steel themselves and their families until the tide turns and until there is a reckoning?
And then one last thing, how do we mount an effective counterattack on all of this stuff that's coming down against us?
All right, well, here's what we got to do, and this is where the great hope is. First of all, no situation is static, and we make the big error of looking at the situation that we're in. It's the failing of the human mind, and it's totally normal to see every moment as a static permanent and that things will never change. And then we plot courses or we attempt to plot courses through the static permanent. And we end up thinking that things are going to take 10 generations, 20 generations, or something of this nature. But the reality is that the static scenario that we're in right now won't remain that way. And in fact, by the time the show is over, it won't remain, it won't be the way it was. So there will be shifts that are taking place. They're taking place all the time. COVID is a great example of a shift. And if we had a community of people who were bound together with a lexicon, with a dialectic, as we are building and going free around the world, and we had then the COVID come in, make a big shift in society, there are going to be a lot of big shifts that are coming forward right now created by the anti-white. Anti-white, not only against Western time, Western civilization, but also anti-white against anti-white. They're going to present us with opportunities and challenges. Are we going to be strong enough to be able to overcome those challenges and take advantage of those opportunities? Are we going to get strong enough to be able to actually put our shoulder into this societal context and maybe shift things a bit so that we have new challenges and opportunities as well? Well, that's going to be answered by whether or not we get together as we are right now and going free globally, using even among the various languages of Western kind, a single lexicon and dialectics, the way we speak, the way we talk. And this is extraordinarily important because people who have been in the movement for five decades have come back to us and said, I have lost with all of my friends, I have lost with all of my family, all of these decades, nothing has worked until I changed the way that I talked about this. I put myself in our story, I used the lexicon we use in Going Free, it changed everything. Now I've convinced people's lives, I finally convinced my wife, I finally convinced my children, I finally convinced my husband. This is normal. Children writing letters to their parents, thanking them for teaching them about Going Free. People coming forward, people in labor and delivery going forward with us. Seven people who have openly admitted during Going Free stream that they were on the path to suicide and have now gotten off the path to suicide and are on the path to going free because of the lexicon and dialectics that we teach in Going Free. This is
something that we do to reclaim our destiny. Where does it begin? It begins with you as an individual. There is no voting or violence that's going to change this. You need to understand right now that the country is not about to be lost. The United States of America died before you were born. Everything that has happened since then has been the decaying of a corpse. What matters is that we recapture our destiny. Why? Because the United States is inside of you as an American citizen. It's also inside of a proper German, a white Australian. It is what we do as Western kind, as Western people. We recreate it. So wherever we are, we bring it forth anew. Realize that the country, the United States, has been taken over by the anti-whites a long time ago. They control all the nodes, or enough of the nodes of power, whether elected or appointed, to accomplish their will, whatever that might be. So we begin with ourselves. We treat ourselves for the lies that they have taught us, which cause you immeasurable stress. Try to imagine the idea circulating in your brain that you can't get rid of, that you are of an evil people, an evil seed, and that there's nothing that you can do good. The only way that you can be good in that moral structure is to be opposed to your very existence, opposed to the existence of your people, for the white erasure of Western kind. That engenders stress. That can cause disease, that will certainly exacerbate disease, that will cause you to make bad decisions in life. You treat yourself first, and while you're treating yourself for what we refer to, these anti-white ideas that we refer to as meme pathogens, you can call them anti-white isms if you want to, you then take this dialectic, these arguments to those around you, and when you come across people who are anti-white, they don't want to listen, you say, fine, thank you, and you go on to the next white person who will be able to hear these arguments. This is a curative contagion. It easily spreads from one person to the next. You then are changing your family. As a result of that, you're changing your community. Communities begin to pop up. Going free is a practice. It works with every one of the religions our people practices. It works with every single one of the atheist groups, all of the different ideologies. We don't get mired in whether government this should be implemented or the economy that should be implemented. All of those things are things that we can change and decide once we have recaptured our destiny. That's what's important. There's nothing more that the anti-white oligarchs fear than when Western kind, as a persecuted people, stands up and speaks with a single tongue, a single lexicon, a single set of dialectics from our story rather than theirs. Don't call them communists. They want you to call them that. Don't call them Marxists. Don't call them liberals. Don't call them SJWs. They like all of that. There's one thing they don't like, one thing that they delete from every article, one thing that they delete from every comment under any of their posts in their media, and that is calling them anti-white. That is referring to their ideology as anti-whiteism. Why is it? It's because they're genius members of the anti-white oligarch, and all of those who feed them what to do and what not to do know that when we talk about them and what they're doing to us as anti-white, that it welds us into a single people with a shared destiny, something we don't have, something that they don't want us to have, something that they have intentionally deconstructed so that we cannot find our personal well-being by the way of our group's well-being. And that is the only way that it is achievable. Look at the success of every one of these groups that people want to criticize, the Jews or the Blacks or the Hispanics. They all have been powerfully, magnificently enriched by individually by serving their group's well-being. We need to come to a realization that we are a people, and we begin doing so by using a lexicon that comes directly from our own story. And here's the beautiful part. In the anti-white narrative, if you stay in their story, it ends in a sanguinary conclusion for us and our people, and you can continue to be snarky, you can continue to call them by the names of their taking, you can continue to be chumped by them and view every scenario, every occasion as something that has that they want you to see it as. You can continue to do that, or you can get into our story, see ourselves as a people who are victimized and struggling free of what's being done to us, and pick up that pen, pick up that quill, and write yourself into that story as a hero, one who will be remembered, if nowhere else, for you in your family for generations to come, and maybe, just maybe, across the totality of Western civilization.
Jason, it's been another fantastic appearance that you've made. We can't wait for the next one. thank you for the words of encouragement, the uplifting words. What about the ways people can contact you and learn more and follow your work? How can they do it?
KnowWhyGuilt.org, KnowWhyGuilt.org, TheAfterParty.tv, TheAfterParty.tv. I am on a great many platforms, not the least of which, of course, is YouTube as KnowWhyGuilt. You're going to find me as KnowWhyGuilt or KnowWhyGuiltNWG on, as you say, Twitter, Gab, Parler, if it ever comes back, DK, and getting on new platforms all the time to continue to do everything we can to get this message out to as many of our people. If you want to make a change, folks, if you want to stop just looking at how powerful the anti-whites are, stop just talking about who they are and how much they've done and what they have for you next, then you go free and you become a hero to your family, to your community, to our people, and we will hail you for all time. And I, through the folks, Keith and James, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I love you all. God bless you all. And looking forward to recapturing our destiny.
Hey, fantastic work, Jason. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything you said, and thank you for setting an example. Folks, follow him at the places he just mentioned. There's a lot to learn and a lot more from Jason, and we'll talk to him again soon. God bless you, buddy.
Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we're only a month into the new year, 2021, and already TPC's been around. We've been getting around the block. We had, of course, the Canadian journalist Remy Tremblay offer the 10-year anniversary review of Racism Schmacism, followed up by Amren's Southern Baptist Convention coverage, which we happen to be included in. Got a call from the New York Times, of course. There was the Rush Limbaugh situation that you know about. And then, of course, going back to the magazine in Germany. Now, that has been on display on newsstands in Germany throughout the month of January. And I had such an incredible story that was shared with me. So there was a gentleman, a good friend of mine, who lived in the United States, and I knew him for quite some time. And he relocated to Germany and settled down there. And when this magazine article came out, one of his neighbors, one of his friends there now in Germany, said, "Hey, this guy's an American, and do you know anything about him?" And of course, my friend could answer very truthfully and saying, "Yes, I know him. I actually know him personally." So it just goes to show the small world that we live in. We received the call from Stan in Idaho earlier tonight about the listener in Greece who put him wise to the guests we were having on tonight. So we do get out and we do get around, as the Beach Boy said, "I get around." But we've got our very good friend, our dear brother. Goes back so many years with us now, Scoop Stanton. He is the host of The Fourth Hour, as it is known around here in the locker room. The Fourth Hour, 7-5 Radio. You can hear Scoop and Walter Yerkew talk about the issues immediately following our show every Saturday night here on the Liberty News Radio Network. Scoop takes it away and takes it live.
And he was originally our man from Havana. Well, they're on the boots on the ground in New York, D.C., and areas like that.
Well, that's exactly right. And after Scoop got so big, a couple of segments couldn't contain him. He got his own show, Jack Ryan, now closing out the show in Scoop's former spot. But Scoop is with us tonight as Jack has the night off. And Scoop was talking to me earlier today about being often imitated but never duplicated. Scoop, take it away. How are you tonight in the belly of the beast, Washington, D.C.?
I'm doing fine, James, but first off, you got a couple of things wrong. I am always, will be, the Washington, D.C. correspondent for The Political Cesspool, unless I move. Secondly, good evening, all political.
That's true. That is true. He is right about that. He is still the current and the former and current D.C. correspondent.
Right.
Duly noted.
Secondly, good evening, Political Cesspool family. But anyway, James, like you were saying, we are often imitated, never duplicated. You sent me a link the other day, Rush Limbaugh mentioning a statement recently how Democrats all tie themselves to MLK, JFK, RFK, John Lewis, and all the other losers of the civil rights movement. But these Democrats should also tie themselves to Bull Connor and one James Edwards. Now, when he said that, I was absolutely flabbergasted. I had listened to that numerous times. And then I was like, is he talking about our James Edwards? And I actually went on Google to find out if there's more than one James Edwards. Well, there was an actor, James Edwards, who died in 1970 and a basketball player, but that's about it. And
I got to say one thing about the basketball player. The basketball player played for the Detroit Pistons Bad Boys teams in the late 80s, early 90s. His name is actually James Franklin Edwards, if you can believe it. That is my name. My middle name is Franklin. Me and the black basketball player are both James Franklin Edwards. But I don't think the basketball player James Edwards would have been mentioned in the same breath as Bull Connor.
Right. So I'm like, how does Rush Limbaugh know anything about James Edwards? And secondly, James Edwards is the furthest thing from a registered Democrat. So then today I was talking to a good friend of ours, Charlie Duff, about you know, what's going on in his show, the No BS News Hour. And he said he's frustrated that people in the Detroit area take his content and broadcast it on their forums, and he gets zero credit. I said, we have the same problem, Charlie. It's called lazy journalism. And then I told James about the conversation we had all the time, how people just take our stuff and give us zero credit. So anyways, I came up with a couple of things that how we always often imitated, duplicated. We never get any credit. First off, in 2014, when Officer Wen Jin Lu and Rafael Ramos were shot and killed in New York City, we ran with that story. We're the first outlet outside of New York City to report this, and we said this is going to be big news. And then the next week, we said there is going to be a war on cops. So then every GenCom lately came up and said, "Oh, there's a war on police," including Fox News. And you know, we had that in the can. Moving on next. I mean, we beat out Fox News. Another thing is that we were one of the first shows on SEC licensed radio to talk about real racial issues. And then I know of two times Michael Savage reported on an obscure story that only the political system reported on, but he did it right after we reported on it. I'm like, how does this guy know about this little incident from, it's like, somebody must be listening. Also, we were the first ones to talk about Jewish power and influence. And then Michael Savage, again, he half dances around it. He calls the Jews, the boys from NYU. Andrew Wilco, also from SiriusXM, danced around the subject, but very, very, very lightly. Now, in terms of music, Red 42 had an obscure Black Sabbath song called Supernaut as a bumper, which I absolutely love. And then about a year or two ago, guess what? Andrew Wilkow, his producer, pulled Supernaut. I mean, this song is not on airplay. It's not Iron Man. It's not Paranoid. But anyways, moving right along, June of 2015, we were one of the very first Trump supporters out there, period. We endorsed and did everything to support this guy. And, of course, all these other so-called conservatives just sat on the sidelines or just trashed Donald Trump. And Andrew Wilco once again said he does not endorse any candidate unless it's the nominee because he doesn't want to be blamed if listeners' candidate loses. He's like, well, you endorse candidate A, and I want candidate B. But I call Bravo Sierra on that because I think either that the if – they endorse somebody and their candidate loses, then whoever's the nominee, say it was Donald Trump, they're not going to appear on their show, or they have marching orders from the GOP not to mention anybody. But that's how we got Dole, McCain, Romney, and the rest. Also, in 2016, our good friend Charlie LaDuff did a brilliant piece on Fox News called Die, Whitey, Die. It spoke about how the Republican Party abandoned its base, which is the white working class. And I watched this piece two times in a row on YouTube, and my jaw just dropped. This thing had the political cesspool written all over it, and we got zero credit. But I'm glad he did it because he got millions of views. It's funny. He came on the air and did the show, and and unlike most people that find out about us, he didn't tell us to go take a flying leap. But anyways, we should have gotten production credit, in my opinion, but we did not. Also, in guest, James Edwards booked Patrick Dino Ryan, and then a couple of weeks later, yours truly booked Mr. Ryan on 705 Radio. But then again, I appeared on his show twice. But James, these shows have staffers. They're listening to us. They're taking notes. They want to be us, but they can't be us. But yet, at the same time, they still mock and ridicule us. So I think it's just jealousy. Like, how these guys with no budget, no staffers, nothing, get a jump on everything. It's called dedication. We love what we do. We're fighting for everybody. And that's why you need to continue to support the programming on this network. James, back to you, sir.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Keith. In one segment, Scoop has set the house on fire, and I appreciate everything he said. I encourage you folks to always stay tuned to the fourth hour, if you will. 7-5 Radio Scoop live with us now. He's going live on his own show with Walter Yerkew. They run for the hour immediately following our broadcast. You never want to miss that show. Stay tuned for it. And Scoop, yes, I mean, it has been such a wonderful story, such a wonderful fraternity here at TPC. Actually, one of our Jewish listeners, yes, we do have one, Jim, and he's a great guy. I had the opportunity to actually meet with Jim when I gave a speech up in Michigan in 2016. We went to eat a Cracker Barrel together, in fact. And this is what he writes about Rush Limbaugh. This is Jim in Michigan. I began listening to Rush during the summer. He became nationally syndicated and quickly became a fan. But there was one comment he made during the first few weeks of his show that I, as one of Jewish descent, never forgot. Rush Limbaugh said, quote, "Never underestimate the power of the Jewish lobby," end quote. He declined to go any further because there wasn't really any need to. I think I heard him say those words one more time in the next few days and then never repeated again for the rest of his career. Subsequently, he became very close to the neocons. I agree with you in part on the Jewish issues, but given the topic that Rush is immaterial. He said words, and obviously people approached him and read him the rule book. Keith?
Yep, that's what happens. You do not touch that third rail. If you touch the third rail, you'll be incinerated.
Hey, folks, stay tuned for the hour to come still. Scoop is about to go live with Walter Yerkew. They've got a great guest tonight on 7.5 Radio. For our guest tonight, Jason Kuna, the Big Kahuna, and Tim Murdoch for Keith Alexander.
Did you catch what he was doing with all that paper rustling just like Rush? Like Rush was listening.
I'm James Edwards. Good night. We'll talk to you next week. Give him hell, Scoop.
Thanks, James.